Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at the Pace Law School in White Plains, New York.
I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Mike Papantonio. Today on Ring of Fire, we'll be taking a closer look at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's crusade to discredit and destroy liberal activists. Investigative journalist Lee Fang is going to tell us how the Chamber is carrying out this mission as we speak. Political satirist Matt Filipovich is going to be here to tell us how the Tea Party-backed laws on states all over America are being put into effect. We'll also be discussing the dangers of the birth control blockbuster drug Yaz with attorney Ned McWilliams.
And don't forget that you can follow Ring of Fire on Facebook and Twitter at Ring of Fire Radio. You can also email us your thoughts on this week's show at info@ringoffireradio.com. And you can help support progressive media by subscribing to our podcast. Just go to our blog at ringoffireradio.com to sign up.
For yourself, my man, you'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man, you're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rake yourself, take all the courage you have left.
So, gentlemen, this past week we saw a lot of praising and worshiping of Ronald Reagan to commemorate the 100th year, I guess, of his birth. And it really is, when you start to scrape the veneer off, it's pretty disgusting.
Well, was he a deity now? I was just wondering, as I was watching it, I didn't know whether or not he had reached deity status. You know, I do have to tell you this before we jump into the story. It is really disturbing, though, to think that at one point you had at least somebody with some quality about him that was kind of the talking face for the Republican Party. And now that talking face is Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin. The progress is just almost disastrous.
The politics are more or less the same, but the face of those politics, not quite as smooth.
Well, and not quite as intelligent. At least you got to hand that to Ronald Reagan. Look, you know, this story by Robert Perry is just, it's very disturbing. Most people who are watching all of this tribute to Ronald Reagan didn't know those parts of the story. We start with Argentina, Sam. Let's talk about, you know, what he did in what they call the disappearances program in the 1970s, where you had Ronald Reagan, who was a columnist, writing about how great it was that these Argentine dictators had their disappearance programs where objectors were fell to mass killings.
Well, yeah, and back in the 1970s, the Argentinian dictators were basically inventing this whole notion of disappearances, where you would just scoop someone off the street and they would get lost in the labyrinth of secret prisons or work camps, or basically just taken out to the nearest dump and shot and buried. And,
well, actually, you know, let me add to that, because this was in the middle of the dirty wars in Central America and the Iran-Contra affair and the illegal wars against Nicaragua. And in the middle of that, a soft-spoken, very eloquent Jewish publisher named Jacobo Timberman appeared in the United States with a best-selling book and testified before Congress. And he compared the Argentine regime, which was a Nazi regime. It wasn't a regime that you compared to the Nazis.
They were
actually proud of being Nazis. Right. But they weren't just disappearing people. We now know, because of the truth commissions, the UN truth commissions that, you know, gave amnesty to people who were involved in these atrocities, that they were taking people, mainly the intelligentsia, lawyers, doctors, priests. This was a war against the gospel of Jesus Christ in many ways. Mm-hmm. University professors, labor union leaders, anybody who thought that democracy was a good idea, were abducted from their homes and there was no due process. They were oftentimes brought to prisons and tortured horribly with new methods of torture that were actually taught by the School of Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, to the officer corps all over Latin America. But then, instead of being returned to their families, these prisoners often were loaded onto airplanes, onto cargo C-130 transports that we had provided to the Argentine government. They were loaded 200 or 300 at a time. They were drugged. Then they were flown far out across the Atlantic Ocean, east of Argentina, near the Falkland Islands. And when they got way out of sight of land, they were dumped from 10,000 feet into the ocean still alive.
The real stinger here is that, again, this is Ronald Reagan's
story. And there are, incidentally, their children then were given to military officers who were looking for children to raise.
Yeah. The stinger here is Ronald Reagan was the columnist and the most vocal force in America who would attack Jimmy Carter and Jimmy Carter's human rights coordinator, I think Patricia Darien. When Darien went in and said, look, this is whole-scale, this is genocide. And Reagan was the voice for them in Argentina, just like he was the voice in, Sam, the Nicaraguan Iran-Contra deal. We didn't prosecute. We let him go. The senile old nut was, you know, basically carrying on an illegal war.
The World Court.
We were financing and training.
We were financing and training, but the World Court made a judgment against us that we had caused, and it's still uncollected. It was a court composed of professors from Harvard and judges, federal judges, U.S. federal judges from Harvard, from Oxford, most prestigious people in the world, sat on this court and levied against the United States the highest penalty in the history of the World Court. For an utterly, you know, we were putting mines in the harbor of Nicaragua for a legitimate government that deposed Somoza, who was one of the most brutal and long-lived dictators in the hemisphere. Reagan tried to justify it by saying that Nicaragua was a haven for terrorists 2 days' drive from Harlinger, Texas. Now, you'd actually have to cross five countries, about six mountain ranges on a, you know, two-lane rutted highway.
I mean, bless
his
heart.
Really...
The guy, you know, by this time he was senile. The point is this. Here we're watching him, and we're watching this story, this fabricated tribute to a man with a very, very dark side. That we haven't even talked about the genocide in Guatemala.
Altogether, Reagan is credited with having killed 300,000 people in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Nicaragua during the 8 years when he was president. And the ambassador to El Salvador said, these were not people who died on the battlefield or in war. These were murders. His ally, Dobison, would go onto the air on television with lists that were provided him by the CIA and by the Salvador military and intelligence apparatus and read the names of lawyers, doctors, priests, etc. And the next day, their headless bodies would be found in one of the numerous macabre body dumps that were famous all across El Salvador.
We got to go to break, but the point is this. This is the Republican hero. This is the best hero that the Republicans can put forward, and they say this is the man we'd like to emulate. This isn't a secret. All this stuff's been out there forever, along with the SNL crisis that he brought, $2 trillion loss to elderly, along with the worst deficit ever. And this is their hero. Look, we have to take a quick break. Let's come back and talk about some other Republican heroes. We'll be right back. I wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock. They say there may be rain, but the sun is hot. I wish I had some time just to kill today. And I wish I had a dime for every bill I got to pay.
We're back on Ring of Fire. I'm Sam Cedar. Right now, we're running through the biggest stories of the past week that the traditional media didn't cover in depth. Bobby and Pap, we were just talking about Ronald Reagan. And, of course, there are other former Republican leaders, particularly from the last administration and have been around certainly through the era of Reagan, who did not receive quite a warm the warmest of welcomes at the CPAC conference this week.
Well, you know, can I say something about this, guys? One of the great things that happened last week, very exciting. We got to see how it turns out. What happened in Egypt was extraordinary. And, you know, we were all riveted by seeing this explosion in democracy where Facebook, you know, who knew? Mm-hmm. Facebook mm-hmm. all of a sudden turns into the most potent democratization mechanism or weapon in the world. And the guy who's kind of running the revolution in Egypt is a Google executive. And it really, really, we were riveted. Of course, I'm scared about what might happen. I'm excited about what's happened so far and where it looks like it's going. One of the great tragedies of this was that it eclipsed the CPAC meeting, mm-hmm. which was like the Barnum and Bailey circus. And if you ever remember when you're a kid, when Barnum and Bailey, you're sitting there in Barnum and Bailey, and the little tiny Volkswagen pulls up and like 80 clowns get out of it. And this was the CPAC. Clown. It was
we should
just
remind
one.
People, we should remind people that the CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Conference.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, people like Ann Coulter and other right-wing luminaries are worshipped. They actually followed around a fake Sarah Palin without realizing that it was just an...
it was Tina Fey. Now, hey, look, let's get to this. Look, here's the story. This is what's so outrageous about the story. Rumsfeld was there to receive the Defender of the Constitution Award that his right-wing conservatives wanted to give him. Now, yeah, exactly. It's like, Darth, come on up, buddy. You know, you're going to get this award. But what I love about it is
how Cheney can give Rumsfeld the Protector of the Constitution when they did everything in their world in their power to destroy that. They were telling us the Constitution was a luxury we could no longer afford.
Yeah, Cheney's hooked up to tubes to his heart because there is no heart. He's hooked up to tubes with this artificial heart keeping him alive, and this character comes up. I'd like to introduce now the Defender of the Constitution Award, Rumsfeld. Now, when that happens, the Ron Paul group said, "Are you kidding me?" They start shouting, "War criminal, war criminal."
See, it's dangerous for the conservatives to actually include libertarians libertarians actually have, you know, as crazy as they are, they actually have some integrity.
Sometimes,
you know, they actually believe in it. They're nuts, but they believe in it, and they actually believe in the United States Constitution. And they don't, you know, they understand the Patriot Act is about bulldozing the Constitution, that these guys got rid of habeas corpus, for God's sake, that they allowed eavesdropping. They violated the Constitution by torturing people. It's against the Constitution.
Well, one thing, Bobby, Rumsfeld, if you think about it, he's being honored for basically lying the United States into a war that was completely phonied up. It was absolutely a product of the reason Dick Cheney's giving the award, you understand, is because Rumsfeld lied for Dick Cheney, because Dick Cheney had told his energy people in the closed meeting of 2001 that he was going to invade Iraq and it was going to be a big oil bonanza. So,
well, this is coming the same week, coincidentally, that the famous curveball came out and admitted that he completely fabricated his entire story about weapons of mass destruction.
Right, right.
That they had nothing else to hang this on. And it's very clear that both Rumsfeld and Cheney in different venues came out and explicitly lied to the American public. And, you know, Rumsfeld, of course, is at this function so that he can sell some books. His 800-page memoir, which I think was written that long so that nobody would actually read it and scrutinize anything he said. But he basically said, we made a mistake.
Well, let me back
up. You know, listen, when you say we know where the weapons of mass destruction are,
right,
you cannot, it's not a mistake if they're not there, because you must have been lying.
Let's put this in. Let me back up just a little bit. Bobby filed years ago, he filed a demand to see the memos of what took place behind the energy meeting that Cheney had, okay, closed-door energy meeting, Now, that's the meeting where Bobby Fowler...
And what we found was big maps of Iraq.
Right. Okay,
This was the first month of their administration the oil fields in Iraq.
So hold what you got. Okay, so Cheney understands that Rumsfeld is really the guy that delivered all that for him. And that's where this story... That's where this all ties together. We know Cheney started this war. He started on behalf of energy. There's no question about it. Of course, we weren't given that information because Scalia prevented us from getting that information, prevented Bobby Kennedy from getting that information by after he goes duck hunting with Dick Cheney the week
on an oil industry jet.
Yeah, a couple of weeks later, Scalia says, "Oh, you can't have that." But listen, also at the meeting was Ann Coulter, who says that we need to start arresting and putting in jail more journalists. Did y'all catch that?
Well, yeah, but I think that's exactly that's exactly the point. It's just so that people talk about her. Her craziness has been eclipsed by the elected Republican leaders who are equally as crazy. You can't really get much traction off of being Ann Coulter when you have Michelle Bachmann, who's actually a congresswoman, saying more or less the same crazy stuff.
Let me just say one thing is that, it's not even about, because what they'll say is, well, we had the intelligence at the time, and they got the intelligence, as Sam just pointed out, from two sources. One was Curbball, who they called Curbball because they knew he was a nut, and he was a curbball.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they got it from a prisoner, Alibi, mm-hmm. who they had tortured, and
right.
who said at first, he said, he gave them everything. The CIA said he's compliant. He's given us everything. There were no contacts between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. Then Cheney instructed them on the telephone. Cheney on the phone said, you got to go back and torture him some more. And he came back and said, yes, there were contacts. And then they sent Colin Powell to the UN to say, there's our evidence. Well, you know what? Even if they did have the evidence, the job of a president is to due diligence that kind of decision before he brings the nation into war. So it's just not, even if the intelligence was real, even if they didn't deliberately contrive it, even if it came from reliable resources. You know, my uncle, Jack Kennedy, when they brought him the Cuban Missile Crisis, he said, I want to see the aerial photographs.
Right, right.
I want to see the unground intelligence. The job of a president is to keep the nation out of war.
Well, of course, you're dealing with George Bush at this point, who never even took the time to read his presidential memos.
Okay, we have to take a quick break, but we've got a lot more stories to cover when we come back. And if you want to help support Progressive Media, then we encourage you to sign up for our weekly podcast. Just go to ringoffireradio.com to sign up. I'm Sam Cedar here with Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio, and you're listening to Ring of Fire.
I'm Mike Papantonio, and you've been listening to a free sample of Ring of Fire Radio. If you'd like to listen to the full show, subscribe to our weekly podcast at our website at ringoffireradio.com. It's your support that helps keep us on the air.